So, I have found a new devotion in my life. Some of you have seen me in the process of doing this, and it's probably a nasty looking thing for other people to have to watch this happen. But the new devotion in my life is that I have been attempting for the last month now straight, which is really good for me, by the way, really good, working out. And I'll just tell you, it's a good thing, and God really has just convicted my heart about me just not being fat and me not eating everything in sight. And so, and that's just kind of a serious thing. But you know, on the flip side of that, I have that devotion, but that devotion, I've just got to tell you, is contradicted by another devotion in my life. And the other devotion that's in my life that struggles against that good devotion, and I see that this other devotion can be good, but can be abused and be bad. And the other devotion is something that exists just about anywhere in America now, and it's called our local Mexican restaurant. And it's my devotion, it's not my devotion to the Mexican restaurant as much as it is my devotion to the chips and salsa in which they serve that is good to me. Or bad for me, depending on how you look at it. My wife would say that it's bad for me in many ways, but we won't go there. You see, these two devotions are like fighting each other. And it's this thing, working out with a good friend of mine. And, I told him this week, I was like, it's like the one thing I don't want to give up. Like, I haven't had a Mountain Dew in like 3 weeks. I mean, that's huge. That's huge for me. Listen, I'm definitely not the hero here today. Let me just tell you, because I'm not shedding it as fast as I should because of the Mexican salsa and the chips, okay? And so, I'm still falling here and I've got a ways to go, but I'm going to get there. And I think that for a lot of us, we have devotions in our life that fight against each other, and it's so tough. It's so tough for us to be able to just go, I want to do that thing, and I'm going to stay strong with it, and I'm going to go all the way with it. It's so hard to do that with anything that we pick up, especially something that we know that it's a lot of times good for us, and it just takes hard work. And so I was just thinking about all that as I was reading this passage of Scripture that we're going to be sharing with today. And last weekend, this was really cool. Last weekend we talked about Nicodemus, and you can go check him out in Scripture if you've not ever gotten to study what's going on with Nicodemus. But Nicodemus comes on the scene, and he's basically a guy that's been in church all of his life, and he knows all the Christianese language, and he can talk the talk and walk, whatever. And he's like studied. He's knowledgeable. And then it comes to him meeting Christ in person. And when he meets Christ in person, he's like, what's up, Jesus? I'm full on. I got it going on. I know it. I know the Scriptures and everything. And Jesus looks at him and is like, you don't know me. You've been a part of church and you've been doing lots of good stuff, but you don't know me. And I think the last weekend, that's just kind of where everything was falling last weekend, at least on my heart, was that there's just a whole lot of folks that are a part of the church, but it's like a yacht club to them. And it's like this thing that we could join because we don't have something else to be a part of or whatever, and the truth be known is that that's not what it's about. It's about a relationship. And the relationship that God wants to have with us. And we're going to continue to talk a little bit this morning about that relationship. And what that relationship looks like. We've got this passage of Scripture in the book of Acts that is the beginnings of the early church. This is such awesome Scripture. If you've never studied through the beginning of the book of Acts or even through the whole book of Acts, you really need to check this stuff out because it's really, really good. And in Acts chapter 2, we have one of these just incredible passages that I love this passage of Scripture. I think I could preach on this passage of Scripture every weekend and not get tired of it. I can't say that about everything, but I can definitely say it about this passage of Scripture. There's just something about it, and it's just so full of stuff. And what we see happen here right in the beginning of this passage is something amazing. As disciples, apostles of Christ have gone out after Christ has gone back to heaven, after he's risen again and then ascended back to the Father, he's given the marching orders to everybody, hey, you guys go out and finish the work. Do the deal. Share the Word of God. And in verse 38 of chapter 2, we have Peter, who has been speaking to masses of people. And it says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people. And actually, that's as I've studied that in the past, I've come to a bigger understanding that may not just be everybody, that may just be a count of men or whatever, because that's kind of typically the way they did a lot of things back then. But in this passage of Scripture, we see a massive amount of people come to Christ. Well, I wanted to share something with you, something that constantly challenges us as a church, because our heart as a church is not just to get people to make a decision for Christ. In fact, you know, I can't get anybody to make a decision for Christ. That is totally, you know, I have people say, "What you said, that you were telling me what to do and I did it." No. God speaks to our hearts. We talked about this last weekend, how the Holy Spirit works and how He speaks to our hearts. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, we should listen. Well, beyond that, one of the things that I'm constantly struggling with is, what are we doing with people after they have received Christ as their Savior? After they have become a Christian? I'm not talking about, you know, like, you know, have we given them something to do? And I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about, you know, have we found a place for them to serve yet? I'm talking about, what are we doing for them to help them in the beginning of their walk with Christ? And I think this is a hugely important thing for us to be thinking about it. And for those of you in here that are mature Christians this morning, I just want you to know, if you're a part of 24 Church, if you plan on being a part of 24 Church, some of you may be here because you got prayed in here and you didn't realize it. Because when you start a church, honestly, who you're looking for is people that are lost. I mean, you don't start a church to win church people. But at the same time, there is a need for us to have some mature believers to help disciple and mentor new believers. And some of you are here for that reason and you don't even know it yet. In fact, you would probably say, "Chris, I can't disciple anybody. I can't mentor anybody. I feel like I'm just kind of getting my feet on the ground." If you know how to pray, and if you know how to begin to even think about studying Scripture, just very basic stuff, then you can be that mentor and you can be that disciple. And I'll just tell you, we've been praying a prayer over the last several months that God would draw some people to us that are mature believers, for the one reason that they could be mentors of people that are coming to Christ. The three people that came to Christ last weekend, the two that I got to talk and pray with, I told each one of them, I said, "Look, I said, I want you to know, I want to spend time with you and help you and getting a bearing on what it means to follow Christ. I don't want you to be overwhelmed by this big book. I don't want you to be overwhelmed with not knowing how to pray or any of that kind of stuff." And you see, we don't think a lot about that kind of stuff a lot of times if we've known Christ for a long time, because we just take it for granted. But there are people here that are trying to figure that out. And it's up to us to disciple them. Of course, I can't disciple everybody. And the staff can't disciple everybody. And our team leaders and, you know, even home team leaders, they can't disciple everybody. So maybe that's you here this morning. Well, in this passage of Scripture, one of the things that's so great about this passage is that we see the 3,000 come. And the 3,000 come to Christ. And then after that, we see the beginnings of the early church. This is such a great passage of Scripture. You should, if you got a Bible, you should underline this passage of Scripture. You should hold on to it. You should look back to it from time to time. If you've ever wondered what the early church looked like, if you ever wondered what the church should look like, it's a great passage of Scripture to look at. Chapter 2, going on, it says, verse 42. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles." Now, I just want to kind of stop right there for just a second, because right there on the very beginning we see something that's very, very important. And it's the devotion. It's the devotion. You know, I was talking about just a minute ago, you know, I've just recently been devoting, you know, my mornings to working out. Some days I lift, some days we run, some days my foot swells up. A lot of days here lately that's happened. And so, you know, it's like, you know, devoting myself to doing something I know I need to be doing. And at the same time, I'm fighting this other devotion over here, the chips and the salsa. How glorious they are, especially with a little salt sprinkled on them. And so, you know, I go back and forth between these two, but I know that the right thing for me to do is to follow this one over here. And I think that for a lot of us in here today, you know, there's a lot of people in here today that could tell you, oh, I'm a Christian. Yes, I know Jesus. I am saved 100%. I know without a doubt that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. It's going to be so great, and I'm so excited about it. But maybe you're not growing in your personal relationship with Christ. And I think that that's probably one of the biggest things that I just see so many times over and over. And I'll just tell you, it's something that I struggle with. You don't ever get to a point where you're like, oh, I got this relationship with Jesus thing down pat. We are doing good. If you ever start feeling that way, I want you just to pay real close attention to who's telling you that, because more than likely it's not Jesus. You see, it is a constant work to have a personal relationship with Christ, just like it's a constant work to have a personal relationship with anybody. I mean, let's face it. We're all a bunch of sinners, and at some point in time, we all get on each other's nerves, don't we? There's some wives in here going, yeah, yeah, him. You see, it is so important for us to understand that it will take work for us to grow in our relationship with the Lord. And I mean so hugely so that I know that there's probably 50 of you in this room right now that could get up here and teach the same exact thing that I'm teaching right now. But the question that I have for you today is not, can you teach it? The question is, are you doing it? And because this is where the rubber meets the road. This is the whole thing. You see, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And we're going to talk about the fellowship piece here in just a minute. But the breaking of bread is basically, they were constantly not just devoted to going to church, they were devoted to spending time remembering what Christ had done for us. That's the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread that they're talking about there is communion, just like the Lord's Supper, just like the disciples did with Jesus, just like we do many times in here, and we do it all different ways. And the reason that we do that is not just to just uphold something that we've seen done before us. The reason that we do that is because we are supposed to be devoted to remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And I'll just tell you, we don't have to take communion every week to do that. That should be something that we're doing constantly every day in our life. If we can remember Christ and the sacrifice that He has made for us every day of our life, I'm just going to tell you, what kind of perspective does that put things in? I got a phone call last night from somebody in our church. And they called to say, Chris, I just wanted to call and let you know that you can be praying for our family. My dad is probably going to die. And just right there in that moment, you know, this person is somebody that I kid with a lot, and we have a great relationship, and we talk a lot and everything. And, you know, and I just right there in that moment, everything just kind of came into perspective of what was going on in their family's life right now. I think that we need perspective. And sometimes going through the motions doesn't do it. Sometimes going to church doesn't do it. Sometimes being even a part of a home team doesn't do it, because we get clouded with other stuff. But the perspective that we need is the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on the cross. And if we can remember the cross, we'll have perspective. The breaking of bread and to prayer. You see, if you've just become a Christian or you're just sitting here realizing today, you know what, I'm not growing in my faith, I'm not growing in a relationship with Jesus Christ, then I want to just encourage you that one of the biggest things that you can be doing is spending time in prayer. And a lot of people, you know, I know we hear this. I know, you know, we were just even kidding around in the back room a few minutes ago about the Garth Brooks song, and I won't sing it. But, you know, I mean, it's just like, you know, we hear about prayer, we think about prayer, we may pray when we eat and all this kind of stuff, but the truth is when was the last time that you just got before the Lord and you just cried out what is going on in your heart? Because I'm just telling you, He longs for us to do that. Because He longs for us to have a relationship with Him. He did not create us as robots and send us down here and just say, oh, there you go. I'm going to just, you know, this is the way it's going to be and, you know, and all this stuff. No, see, He wants us to turn from our sin, ask forgiveness, and say, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. And I want a relationship with you. And I'm willing to fight for that. And I'm willing to be devoted to it. And I'm just telling you, prayer is probably one of the best, one of the absolute number one ways that you are going to encounter God. Cry out to Him. Praise Him. Thank Him for the good stuff. Don't just go to Him when stuff is bad. In fact, you know, we see in Scripture our instruction to prayer is to begin praying with thanksgiving. You know, and if you're like this family that, you know, I talked to on the phone last night that said, you know, my dad is about to die. It's really hard in times like that to ask for thanksgiving. But you know what? Even in that person's voice, I was hearing that because he was saying, you know what? It's going to be rough on my mom, but it's going to be good because my dad knows the Lord. And he looked at me and he said, it's okay. I'm ready to go. We should be thankful and we should seek the Lord with all of our heart. And Jeremiah tells us that when we do, we'll be found by Him. It goes on in verse 43. It says, everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Miracles still happen. I think that that's a given. I think we know that. God still does amazing things. We've seen God do amazing things within the last week and a half of our church. If you don't think some of that stuff is amazing and miraculous and God's hand wasn't in it, then you missed it somewhere, because we gathered in a building about a little over a week ago on a Thursday night and just said, God, we just pray that you would just move in the fire marshal's office tomorrow. And little did we know it, he did move in the fire marshal's office on that Friday, and we didn't know it until Monday, Tuesday. And that's not an accident. That's God moving and that's God doing His thing, because He's sovereign and He's in charge. We go on in verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, I want to just kind of stop and camp on this for just a moment, because I want to, as the pastor of our church, I just want you to know something. I want you to hear this from me. Satan is going to do whatever he can to divide and conquer anything that God is doing, and that especially includes the church. And it especially includes the church during a time when God is seen fit to bless and do things and move things forward and all that stuff. And I'm just telling you this. I heard a home team this past week met, and they were telling me, somebody in that home team was telling me how they had recognized some of this happening in our church. And they said, you know what, we recognize this, and we're not going to just leave it to the staff anymore to try to just let them handle it. We're going to be, doing something about it. We're going to talk to people. We're going to say, hey, just recognize this is Satan moving. This is Satan doing something. He's the one after you. He's the one doing this thing. He's going to cause dissension. If you don't think that that's not true, then he's already won. And I'm just going to tell you, he would do anything to break this up. And just to even kind of further go that, if God ever calls someone out of this church to leave this church and go somewhere else, I want you to hear from me that is a God calling, and it is not an opinion thing, it is not a decision thing, and if God calls you to do it, then do that thing. We've had people that have come here because God has called them to come here from other churches, and some of those churches, I'm sure, probably were like, why in the world are you going to help this church? You know, we had somebody recently move from East Nashville to move out here to be a part of this church. And I'm sure that they've got a lot of friends and family that are like, man, what in the world did they do that for? They were called by the Lord to do it. And if God calls you to do something, then do it, and do it with the blessing of our church. But don't cause dissension while you're doing it. This passage of Scripture is just so full of stuff that this one verse, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Can you imagine what that would be like? Oh my gosh. If we all loved chips and salsa the same way, we wouldn't just have one Mexican restaurant here. We would have multiple right here in Pleasant View. It'd be such a bad thing for me. But no, seriously, I mean, you know, I think for so many of us, we hold on to our opinions like they are Scripture. And we're like, oh my gosh, this is, you know, blah, blah, blah. And we get so bent out of shape and we miss the fact that Satan is doing a thing in our lives and he's keeping this right here from happening. Because this is the church, and the church should be unified. That's the thing this home team was telling me this past week. I didn't even ask them. They just came to me and said, hey, we've recognized that we need to help fight for our church's unity, and we're going to be a part of that. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is so awesome. Out of all the things I've heard in the last several weeks, that's probably one of the most awesome things that I've heard. And it's tough because we're people and we're going to make mistakes, every one of us. And I'm probably going to make more mistakes than the rest of us in here. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Because I spend every day of my life praying through and trying to figure out exactly what it is that God wants us to do. And sometimes I miss. And sometimes we miss. Sometimes you may miss. But that should not come in front of the unity of the church. Verse 45, it says, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. And we've been talking about some of that stuff in the last several weeks. The whole this series was about materialism and, you know, things we can do. We're going to have an eBay store. It's hopefully starting next weekend. And with that, you'll be able to actually give something, if you so feel led to do so, to be something sold on eBay to go toward the warehouse project. I've said this before, but I just want to say real quick again. We're not that interested in building buildings. What we're interested in is just having a place to worship, and we're supposed to be out of here by July the 15th, if you didn't know that. So, you know, you got to go somewhere, and that's the only reason that we spend money on a building. If you go on further in this passage of Scripture, it says, after selling their possessions and goods, it says in verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And that's them worshiping together as a body of believers. They met together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And right there we see a great picture of something that's such an important part of 24 Church. And I think what should be an important part of every church. I have a lot of people say, hey, you got a building coming, and when the building gets here, you're going to have like Sunday school classes, right? Thank you. No, we're not going to have any Sunday school classes. And a lot of people are probably like, well, why don't they have Sunday school classes? Man, they should have Sunday school classes. I was blessed by a Sunday school class one time. I don't know. But we're not. And here's the reason why. The reason we're not going to have Sunday school classes is that truthfully, we feel that we could be better once again with a building to make it all worship space and kids space and that kind of stuff. And that we would be so much more beneficial to do what we're seeing right here in this passage of Scripture, which is for folks to meet together in homes, to pray together, to grow real relationships together, to be a part of the fellowship that we see in the very beginning of this passage of Scripture that is so important for us. And I just want to send this out today to you. If I could just like wave something over you today that you could take home with you, I just would really wish that you could understand that if you are interested in growing in your personal relationship with God, that fellowship with other believers is key for that to happen. And I think for so many of us, we're just kind of like, you know, I don't really need a group of people, and, you know, I'm good. I just go to church on Sunday mornings. Look, that's basically a non-committal attitude is what that is. It's just like, I can go and I can sit and listen and I'll get something out of it and it's good and it energizes me for the week or whatever. I'm just telling you what. If you would ever go and experience what a home team is about, if you would ever go and just get to be a part of what it's like to find that community of believers that have something in common with you, that you could be unified together as part of the church, you would never dream of doing anything different. This morning, actually, after the service, and this is just kind of a cool thing that this all happened, and this is the way the message was headed this morning, was that after the service, there's going to be tables in the back, and you've seen those tables when you came in probably, and at those tables are going to be people manning those tables to talk to you about their home teams. If you're wanting to home team shop, today's a good day. Because they're going to be back there. We got some videos. We may have some food. I don't know. You can try to get all the food from the different tables, and whoever's got the best food, maybe you go to their home team. It doesn't matter to me. Just give one a shot. Just give one a shot. Because what happens in that is such a special, special thing. And it's something that we're just taking straight from Scripture, and we're just saying, you know what? We can multiply out more people being discipled and growing in the Lord by using people's homes than we can by building Sunday school space that we can't afford anyway. I can't imagine how many Sunday school classes we would have to keep up with the growth of this church. It would be absolutely ridiculous. It's going to be bad enough when we get in there and everybody just wait and watch because we're going to get in there and like a few months later, we're going to outgrow and we're going to have to be in two services and they're going to be like, oh, we're not unified anymore. Just don't even say it because when we're going to have to do it. It's going to happen and it's going to be a beautiful and great, great thing when it happens. But it's just an amazing thing that we're getting to be a part of something so huge and so miraculous as what we are. In verse 47, it says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. There's a lot of things that we can do to grow in our personal relationship with the Lord, and we know right off the bat that one of them is praying. We know that right off the bat, and this is all, we got to be devoted to these things now. I'm not talking about like, you know, Mexican restaurant devoted. I'm talking about like every day got to exercise devoted, okay? But if we will be devoted to the apostles' teaching, if we'll be devoted to prayer, if we'll be devoted to fellowship, I mean, this is just the stuff that's in this passage of Scripture, to the breaking of bread, the remembrance of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And if we'll go one step further, and if it'll just all be one big glory for God, one big thing about making God famous. Because, see, this is a mindset that I think has become the consumer Christian mindset. We go to church, we get what we need, we go home. That's not what it's about. We don't set this up for that. We set this up to bring God glory. And the glory that comes from us, the praising that comes from us is so important and so integral to us growing spiritually. And I don't want to say this in a wrong heart. I want you to hear me when I say this. You know, you need to find a church where you are comfortable praising God. And I'm giving you a little permission here because this may not be it, and I'm not saying that we're, you know, trying to be, you know, oh, well, here's how we do it and we don't care about you kind of thing. That's not what I mean. But what I mean is that you need to be a place where you and friends that are like you, that you may have a chance to reach for the Lord, you need to be in a church where you can serve and be a part of that, where you feel comfortable bringing them. So that they too could be reached even through the worship of a church. Because I'm just telling you what, the only reason, and this is just a straight up quote from a guy named John Piper, but the only reason that missions exists, the reason that we have to go out and, you know, try to do missions to reach people, the only reason that exists is because worship does not in so many places. And the reason that so many people question our Christianity and our relationship with the Lord is because they don't see worship in our lives. They see us falling into Americana, it's all about me and what I can get, and it's not about how great my God is. And this is about how great our God is. And that great God wants a relationship with us And maybe you're here this morning, and last week we really hit home, I think, on folks, and you may be here that fall in this boat, but folks that maybe have been a part of the church for a long time, but maybe you've just never come to Christ. Because I really don't care about your church attendance, and neither does Jesus, okay? This is about a relationship with the Lord, and if you've never had a relationship with the Lord, then today could be your day. Today could be your day to set it all right, and after the service, I'm going to be just chilling right here, and you can just come. And I'd love to get to talk with you and pray with you about that. But you may be here today, and you may have never grown up in church. Maybe you've never been a part of anything like this. And maybe you've never, ever, ever even heard about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And maybe you're just a newbie today. And you're just kind of thinking today, I'm just here checking out this church thing. I don't really know that I really want to talk to anybody. And I'm just telling you, I can't make you do anything, and I wouldn't even dream of trying. But what I would encourage you to do is that if God is speaking to your heart, and that's my prayer this morning, if God is speaking to your heart, that you would listen this morning to Him. Don't turn Him away. Don't do anything like that. Just listen to Him and follow what He's saying to you right now. You see, our relationship with the Lord is based upon us working for it, but at the same time, even more importantly, it's based upon what He wants to download to us, because He's just waiting. He's just waiting for us day in and day out for us to come to Him. And just like we did just a few minutes ago when we all stood and we praised God, we weren't singing songs to the band. I was back there singing and jumping and doing the whole thing, and you know what? I wasn't doing it for the band, and I wasn't doing it for you. It's about giving Him the glory. Let God have glory in your life. If you have never come to Christ, let this morning be your morning. Right after the service, I'm going to be hanging right here. I'd love to get to talk to you. There'll be other guys down here that could do so as well. Let me pray for us this morning. God, I just pray. I pray this morning, God, that everything that we do would be for You. And I'm not just talking about as individuals, God, but I'm talking about us as Your church, that this would all be for You. God, I just pray, Lord, that Your will be done in everything that is going on in the lives of our people and in the life of our church. And God, that You would bring us together to unify us. God, at the same time, if You need to trim the hedge a little bit, God, then You do that too. Whatever is Your will, God, that is what we're praying for this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be unified under Your name, not for the sake of growing a church, not for the sake of the name of our church being known, but God, but for Your name, that Your name would become famous. God, I pray, Lord, that when people would see us, that they would not see a number and the word church, but God, that they would see You moving like the wind through Pleasant View, through Springfield, Ashland City, Clarksville, Nashville. God, I just pray that You would use us, that we could just be a part of something that You want to do. God, that's our prayer this morning. God, we want this to be for You. With all of our heart, God, we are seeking You right now as Your church. God, and I just praise You and I thank You for the wonderful and great things that You are doing. God, we are so blessed and so wonderful to be a part of this. God, if there is anybody here this morning, God, that does not know You, God, I pray, Lord, that they would seek You this morning, that they would seek that personal relationship. God, that we would be devoted and growing in our relationship with You. God, You are so unbelievable. We thank You so much for letting us have a personal relationship with You. God, we love You, and I pray, Lord, that that would just come through in how we give You glory. God, may You be praised. In Your name I pray. Amen.